kuatai te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.
Yes, it's right. It is time for one of my favourite segments of the week. It is the Scorpio Book Spotlight, and I'm so delighted because I don't get to see her often, but I have Belle in the studio with me.
Kia ora, Liam. How are you going?
I haven't even counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 books.
I know, this is the short list. I did a hopeless job of whittling it down.
Though, saying that, if I was talking to someone from a bookstore and they could really efficiently whittle down books, I'd be a little concerned, I feel.
That's true. That's true. You want an embarrassment of riches, don't you?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So how do we start? Where do we start?
Here? Well, I thought I'd just do a bit of a Christmas roundup, a whiz around through the big books of the year to remind us all of what to put on our Christmas lists and how to solve our tricky people we have to buy for this year.
Yeah.
And then I thought I'd talk about some of my favourites, and I thought we could even do a little stunt together at the end. But it could go terribly wrong, and hopefully maybe we'll run out of time, but we'll see how it goes, eh? So hands down, the biggest novel of 2024 has been Sally Rooney's Intermezzo.
I was going to ask about
Yes, that, yeah. Indeed. I know Josh has already talked about it on the show, so I won't go too far into it, but the Irish writer who brought us the smash hits Conversations with Friends and Normal People, which was then made into the TV show.
Did you ever watch that TV show?
No, I didn't, because I read the book and I didn't want to have other
books.
Exactly.
Interesting.
So she's just knocked it out of the park this year with her new novel about two brothers, one of whom is a chess player, the other is a lawyer in Dublin, caught between two women, and both brothers are processing their grief after their father's death. It has everything Rooney fans will love. It's got complicated, angsty relationships. It's got melancholic desire. It's got smart, witty dialogue. And the reviews have been overwhelmingly positive. They're largely in agreement that she's sort of stepped up a notch with this one, and it's sort of as enjoyably intellectual and sophisticated as ever.
My God.
That's an easy choice if you're only going to read one novel this summer. And the next surprise biggie is the unexpected Booker Prize winner called Orbital by British writer Samantha Harvey.
Oh, now tell us about this.
Well, the odds were on American writer Percival Everett to win this year for his brilliant retelling of Huckleberry Finn from the perspective of James.
Which was also reviewed
on Renata here. Talked about it, I think.
Now, what was that called?
James.
It was just James.
Yeah, just
it?
James.
That sounded fascinating.
It was absolutely fascinating, and Percival Everett is just a genius, so it was sparklingly clever and playful, and all the betting agencies said that he was going to win it.
Right.
But he didn't, and when it was announced, I had this, oh my God, of course moment. Of course it was Orbital.
Oh. So
Orbital, which Josh may or may not have talked about this year, I can't remember.
No, I can't remember.
But it's about six astronauts on the International Space Station orbiting the Earth, and it's a tiny little skinny novel. And what Harvey does that's new and fresh is apply the principles or aesthetics of nature writing to outer space, which is such an interesting idea, and it's so perfect on many levels. A, because everything happening on Earth right now is incredibly strange and intense, and who doesn't want to just zoom out a bit and have a wee break? Also, because our poor frayed brains by the end of the year need a concise, manageable, zen-like novel.
Yes.
And it's also just a massively important conversation that's in our near future, and we need to start talking about space as the next frontier and blah, blah.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Anyway, so if Sally Rooney and angst isn't your thing and you're looking for something a little more zen, you could go with The Booker Winner.
Well, is it actually, like, is the storyline zen?
Yes. Well, it's not, it's not really, it's not a plot-driven novel. It's more of a thoughtful, contemplative, gone.
I'm very curious about this one, though.
Me too.
Yeah, and obviously the fact it won this thing and no one expected it to.
Yeah.
Makes it all the more interesting.
And often the Booker Prize is, you know, the big, serious, weighty, complicated thing. But this is just elegant and tiny. And
yeah, the fact that it's tiny and just, it still won really surprises me.
Yeah, so that's very cool. But if you need other options, or the bibliophile in your life needs other options, there are so many heavy hitters releasing books for Christmas this year. So Japanese novelist Haruki Murakami has a new one out, released a few weeks ago, called The City and Its Uncertain Walls. And I don't think I brought that one, but it's a beautiful, big, chunky novel. And the potted summary goes like this. When a young man's girlfriend mysteriously vanishes, he sets his heart on finding the imaginary city where her true self lives. Where am I? His search leads him to a job in a remote library with mysteries of its own. When she is found, she has no memory of their life together, and as reality and fantasy start to blur, he must decide what he's willing to lose. It's a love story, a quest, an ode to books, and a parable for these strange times. So...
God, that sounds deep.
Typically fantastical and strange, this one is going to be catnip for book nerds. There's also Nobel Prize-winning Polish writer Olga Tokarczuk's wonderfully strange novel called The Impusium. And get this for a subtitle, A Health Resort Horror Story.
Oh, God.
Yeah, delightful.
That one sounds like it could really, you know, because we live in the age of the health influencer and the
this one is set in 1913.
Oh, my God, it is so September 1913.
Yeah, you can do the honours and read the potted summary.
Why? Because you don't know how to pronounce Mises?
Pretty much, Over to you, Liam.
Mikeslor. A student suffering from tuberculosis arrives at a health resort. Its residents gather daily in the dining room to imbibe on the hallucinogenic local liqueur. And to obsess over money and status and to discuss the great issues of the day. Sounds fantastic, quite frankly.
It sounds very juicy, and she is a fascinating writer who... has always held me quite captive her books. So this one's quite high up on my Christmas list as well.
Someone or something seems to be infiltrating their world. Oh, fantastic. Mm. We love that.
It's great. And what has captured me this week? And I arrived at work the other day just having finished it and thought, oh, my God, I'm going to burst into tears on the shop floor. Is Tim Winton's latest novel, this massive tome called Juice.
Oh, no.
Now, you probably...
I'm just trying to picture you, you know, trying to hold it together in the middle of the shop.
It wasn't a pretty sight, Liam. But so he is an Australian writer famous for Cloud Street and Breath and The Shepherd's Hut, amongst many other novels. He's been writing for like 40 years. He works in environmental conservation... activism and he's a fantastic, really cool guy, but this one is quite a departure in some ways from his other novels. It's a post-apocalyptic, it's set in the far northwest of Australia, and it's a little bit Mad Maxy. It's a little bit Cormac McCarthy's The Road, but it's also got a dash of Trent Dalton-esque hope, and it just completely captivated me.
Really?
Yeah,
oh my
God. Yeah, it's a really interesting reimagining of AI in particular that I felt was new and fresh and not as bleak as the projections that we're used to.
That's nice.
Because it is a horrifying world that he's imagined in terms of weather and climate change.
Right.
And but it's full of hope, and I really felt completely sort of roused and invigorated. And it's got the most beautiful ending, but I won't.
Wow! Okay.
I won't go too deep into that. But that is a highly recommended. And I'm never drawn to read post-apocalyptic books.
I find that
just too much. But this one is fantastic.
This is a lot. Then.
If you're going to read one, read this one.
Okay.
But if you're in the mood for something gentler, then one of my favourite American writers, Elizabeth Strout, has a new book out this year called Tell Me Everything. This one here. And
I was just looking at that, actually.
Because
I've heard of her.
She's famous for the she's written two series that have both done very well, critically acclaimed, the Lucy Barton series and the Olive Kitteridge series.
And
why this book is so extraordinary for her fans is that Lucy Barton and Olive Kitteridge meet in this book. So even though they've lived sort of, their worlds have been, they're set
different.
In similar circles. They've been brought together here. But there's also a mystery and there's a late love story, and she is just the most extraordinary genius.
That's so cool she's doing that.
And it's beautiful. It's just a really gentle comfort literary read. Highly recommend that one. Oh my gosh, I've been going on too long already, but my...
Nah, we're loving it.
Well, two of my favourite novels this year have been Kiwi novels. These ones. The first is Delirious by Damien Wilkins, who runs the Institute of Modern Letters up in Wellington. And Delirious is the most extraordinarily empathetic novel about a couple who decide to bite the bullet and move into a retirement village. But while they're doing this, they end up having to wrestle with the death of their young son in a freak accident 40 years prior.
Oh, right.
So it brings up the past and it's about aging and families and reconciling with the past on a personal level but also on a national level. And it's got the most fabulously satisfying, real, complex, bumbling characters that I really miss, and I just wanted to give them both a hug.
Oh,
they were
God.
Just so beautiful and so real.
You sound like you want to read it again for the first time.
I am going to read it again for the second time and enjoy it even more, I think. So you could give that book to so many different people for so many different reasons. I think it's a classic in the making, a Kiwi classic in the making.
Oh, good.
And I haven't finished this one yet. And usually I don't call a book before I have finished it. But I know that this one is an absolute banger and it's going to be in my top three.
I just look at it in the mix of all the other books and it looks like a manual.
Yeah, it's got a very different cover.
Yeah.
But it's because it's about a middle-aged guy working as an editor at a medical journal in London. He's just lost his wife and he's struggling to manage with his baby daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And while this is a completely tragic set of circumstances, there is the most fantastically dark humour through it. It's like...
Oh, okay.
It's like The Office, but much cleverer, funnier. It's full of wordplay and modern life workplace absurdities, and it is just brilliant.
And Kiwi-esque in its humour?
No, I'd describe it as more of a European sensibility, I think.
Interesting, okay.
Not in a Ponzi kind of way.
Real dry. Oh my God!
But he can turn out the most stunningly elegant sentence and then make you snort with laughter in the next line in a very inelegant.
Really?
Way. So he's brilliant. So he wrote The Mistake, which has been turned into a film with, oh my God, what's her name? Elizabeth Banks. It's about a surgeon. There's a mistake in the operating theatre and it's probably going to, it's just done the film circuit and all sorts of awards.
Right,
it's probably going to stream,
exciting.
Go into cinemas here very soon. If it hasn't already.
Because I always, you know, have one book for the summer break. That might be it.
Do it. I will eat my hat if both those books aren't on the Occam's list.
Really?
Fighting it out for the big gong next year.
Holy moly.
But there's also new novels from Ali Smith, Louise Erdrich, Alan Hollinghurst. It's an insanely good year for reading. But stop, Belle, I hear you say overwhelming.
No, I'm just like, shit, how do I pick?
Well, exactly. It is overwhelming. And how do you pick? Well, you come and have a chat with one of our lovely booksellers at Scorpio, because we are pros at helping you find the perfect fit. There's also a plethora of crime and mystery. Richard Osman, famous for the Thursday murder, Cozy Crime.
Yeah, I was going to ask about this.
Well, yeah, he's got a new, he's starting a new series called the first one in the series is We Solve Murders. It's still definitely in the cozy vein, but it's grittier than his last ones. So, and by all accounts, equally as delightful. There's also mystery crime giants Ian Rankin, Kate Atkinson, Robert Harris, all have great new ones out. And this is an interesting one for the crime buffs. John le Carré's son, Nick Harkaway, has given his dad's iconic spy, George Smiley, a reboot with his new novel, Carla's Choice. So ballsy, but the reviews have been just glowing.
Jean Le Carré is that's what he does.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly. So, and he's picked a time period from the George Smiley series that wasn't mapped out in the original series, but it sort of slots into the middle of the series. So,
how interesting.
But fascinating. And I haven't even talked about nonfiction yet, so I should just say, for those who want to spend more time outdoors in 2025, our December book of the month, which we were just talking about, is Wild Walks Aotearoa by Hannah Rose Watt, who I believe you know quite well,
Liam. I'm very lucky to know her, and I'm very lucky to know someone who's made such a comprehensive book.
It's a comprehensive book, but it's also a really good introduction for people who want to get outside and do a bit more walking next year. So it's got everything from quickie day walks. She's got a section of family-friendly walks called Hikes for Tykes. Cute.
Oh, I love it.
Right up to the multi-day serious undertaking kind of trek. So it caters for all ages and fitness and experience levels. It's both beautiful and full of practical advice for, you know, where do you even start if you've never tramped before? What do you need to have in your pack? How do you deal with this and that?
Because I would need all that information.
Well, great hacks. I just actually a couple of weeks ago did the Pinnacles track.
Did you?
And I read her little summary of it beforehand, and I was so glad I did, because otherwise I would have had very wet feet.
Wow. So, you can really actually say this is a very practical book.
Oh, absolutely.
Wow.
I highly recommend it. And it's also, even for the people who may not get out and do very many, it is beautiful to flick through and just find out what hut life is like and sort of what, it just gives you a really great picture of.
Yeah, I can vouch for that, because as someone who knows Hannah Rose, who's written it, and, you know, follows her on social media and all that, I do just get to live vicariously. I feel like sometimes I'm like, I don't need to do it now. I've got it.
Well, now you can. Now you can, Liam. So much good nonfiction out this year.
So many things.
Beloved TV critic Diana Wichtel has a memoir out called Unreal, which Steve Broinius has called the funniest book out this year.
Really?
Iconic actor Al Pacino has released a memoir for the film buffs. I think Kezia spoke to you a few weeks back
about Elements of Marie Curie.
Yes, Marie Curie, who most of us know as the most famous woman in science, but probably not that much more about her. And she had a fascinating life, personal, professional, and the author of that biography, Dava Sobel, brings it to life so beautifully. There's also an incredible... Anyone interested in Te Ao Māori needs to have a look at the new release from Auckland University Press called Toi Te Mana, An Indigenous History of Māori Art. So that is a hugely important book, deeply researched over decades, beautifully produced.
Really?
It's a game-changing book in the field. So,
Holy shit, really?
It's massive. And stunning. So that one is one for art lovers. And of course, it's a huge year for cookbooks this year. Ottolenghi has a new one out. Chelsea Winter, Christchurch Darlings, the Two Raw Sisters have a new one. Maddie Matheson, Nigel Slater. There is something for everyone. So bring us your Christmas gift challenges and we will help you find the perfect thing. And of course, if you have a book lover in your life, a Scorpio Books voucher makes a double whammy great present because they get a beautiful book and also the joy of the browse.
Yes. And like, my God, is it good to browse?
It's so good to browse. Oh, I haven't even talked about kids' books, but our kids' shop, Telling Tales, has an absolute array of choices on offer this year. Yes.
Oh my God, I mean, I could go on and on, Liam.
I haven't even talked about Olivia Lang's The Garden Against Time.
Oh my God, you poor thing. I don't know how the hell you do this. There's so much here.
there is so much.
Absolutely so fantastic. Much. It all looks incredible. I'm really glad you actually mentioned the biographies because I always love biography, but... some really interesting characters.
Really interesting characters. The Place of Tides by English writer James Rebanks. He's the guy who wrote English Pastoralist, and it's a fascinating story about he basically has a midlife crisis and goes to live, leaves his farm in England and goes to live with this duck woman on a remote island in Norway, which is where we get eiderdown. So they're the eider. Yeah, I had no idea about this. It's a 1,000-year history. So eiderdown comes from the eider ducks on these remote islands in Norway, and the people who tend these islands, they build these nests for the ducks and sort of encourage them to come and lay their eggs. And then once they've gone and migrated again, they collect the feathers. And this, there is so much in this story about class and migratory history of like Vikings, because there's actually parallels between his part of the coast in England and her part of the coast in Norway, because they've got similar words from when the Vikings came down that way. My God, it's such a rich story.
Wow, holy moly. There are books on just everything.
Come and see me down at Scorpio and I will continue this rant.
I love it, I know. We really should wrap up, but before we do... If there's one book you have to read on, like, your summer, what's it going to be?
Oh, me? Or Oh, my God. it's probably this one, The Garden Against Time by Olivia Lang. She's an extraordinary essayist. I've read Art in an Emergency and A Lonely City, two fabulous books of hers. She's such an interesting thinker. And this book is about... during lockdown, she bought a dilapidated garden in Suffolk and started regenerating it, renovating it, bringing it back to life. But
right.
because of the brain she has, it led her down this path of reading and research where she started looking into what it means to tend a garden, own a garden, ideas of utopia and paradise.
Oh, yeah.
But also what an incredibly privileged position it is to own land and tend land and create
kind of is,
and to create a private oasis and what that means. But she also goes and explores communal gardens and how subversive and undermining of big political structures they have been over time through case studies. So it's a look. It's a look at the politics of gardening. It's a look at. It's extraordinary. So that is number one on my list.
Oh, I know exactly who I'm buying that for. Right.
Perfect.
Wow. Yeah. Great.
And
this
it's beautiful.
Is
it's a beautiful
it's
hardback.
Yeah. Really pretty.
Yeah. So that's my juicy read.
Belle, you have not had an easy task today trying to surmise all this. But you've done a very good job.
Well, thank you. And thank you for listening to my verbal diarrhea
my
this morning,
pleasure.
Liam.
My absolute pleasure. Anything for Scorpio Books, quite frankly. Thank you so much for coming today and sharing
all
of this with us. To our audience out there, head along to Scorpio Books. Get all your Christmas shopping done right there.
Do.
Right. Well, that is pretty much it for the Scorpio Books Spotlight today. Goodbye.
Kua tai te wā mō Scorpio Book Spotlight e arotake ana I ngā puka puka pāpai.